Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Blonde Handyman Show.
Huh.
Hello there, neighbors, and welcome to show number 192. This is March 20th, 2007. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show today, and always, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey, Tom Houston, what in the world's going on today?
Oh, man, I'm out in the backyard just having a ball.
Well, it's a good place to be on a day like this, I guess.
Yes, it is. Is Don Patterson in the house?
Yeah, let's see. Righty, tighty, lefty, loosey, and Mr. Backward Threads, and then lefty, loosey, tightens it so tight you can't get it loose.
Qualifies
you. I'm co-host Don Patterson, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Tom Houston. Now, here he is. Here's the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Well, as you can see, in studio, the only two we have are myself, along with Dependable Don Shaw. The rest of you flakes have stayed home.
Oh, way out in the country.
Houston, you should have put those crutches in that car, Cletus, and just come on.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, I bet you do. Anyway, we're glad to have you by telephone. We are the exciting, always exciting Blind Handyman Show, and this is show number
192.
192. Well, we're getting very much down on that 200 mark, aren't we?
We are getting close.
Almost there.
Almost to 200. What are we going to do for our 200th show, guys?
Oh, probably about the same thing we're doing right now.
Well, I figured if I started now, I might could find a ride. And
yeah.
At least make it to the studio.
That would be nice.
Yeah,
that would be nice. Where's Emily today? She's off doing school.
Emily is sitting in an ARD meeting in Lindale, which is what, north of Tyler? I don't know. At this point, at 3 o'clock was the starting time, I think.
I'd rather be here.
That's why I'd rather be here, too.
1+1.
Oh, just checking our Skype connection. We're gonna call the guest on Houston. You need to get Skype going so we can do the email when you can't make it on Skype.
Oh, okay.
With your microphone, it's really easy. Just go to Skype.com and download the latest version, and bingo, there you are. You can call computer to computer for nothing.
Quality
there you go.
So
nothing
good.
Wrong with that.
See, in other words, you could call me to my computer free of charge, and.
Yeah.
I've become a big Skype fan. For $30 a year, you can call any phone in Canada, the United States, for $30 a year.
$30 a year?
Yeah.
That's it.
My goodness gracious.
Is that something or what, huh?
Yeah, what it is.
No. Oh, man, that's pretty good.
That's pretty cheap,
it is.
Isn't it, huh?
Yes, sir.
$30 a year. So anyway, I'm all signed up. Skype man. Got it in the house, got it outside, got it everywhere. Everybody always.
SKYPE, isn't it?
Yeah, it's SKYPE.
.com.
And go download the latest version. Anyway, Patterson never did find a thing to put your. I think I can make you a deal to put your recorder on a mic stand.
Well, I could order it. I just got to go see a catalog and determine the threads. Like I said, I've seen several reducers from 5/8 to 3/8, but I don't believe mine is a 3/8. I think it's going to be a quarter, and I didn't see anything reducing it down, but I believe I could create something.
I think we can make one. And I was looking at my old parts today and see, because I keep things, you know, all kinds of little junk,
right.
like my dad used to do years ago. Max and I. And I talked about that.
Yeah.
He's a saver of old parts and junk. And Max built me a little deal that makes noise when the level gets too high. It makes a little beeping noise. And he said the only thing he had to buy was the wall wart, the voltage reducer. Everything else he had parts to build
it with. If he would have gotten your closet someplace, he could have found a bunch of them.
That's exactly right. I probably got 30. How'd you know that?
Well, because I seem like I gave you some, and since then I have accumulated several more. So
I may throw the appliance away, but I keep the wall wart thing.
Yeah.
All right, Houston, yeah, I guess you have some list mail down all the way down there in Burke in your backyard on your porch.
I do indeed.
All right.
This is probably to Don Shaw, directed more to Don Shaw because he's the computer guy around here.
He is.
Is there a safe way to tighten up loose USB connectors, Don?
Oh, I've never heard of anyone having the problem, actually.
I've never heard of a loose one either.
Yeah, that's a new one for me, I got to tell you.
A loose?
I saw no responses to that either.
A loose USB connector.
Have never heard of the problem. Like I say, it's just, that's a new one.
What if he means like the cord is loose in its socket? I wouldn't know what to do about that, but it could be that the socket, the whole thing is mounted from the inside. Maybe something has come loose. And
aren't they mounted onto the case of the computer with pop rivets?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're screwed on inside from inside. You know,
you definitely have to go in and look on the inside of the computer.
Yeah, I think so. You'd have to.
I just never heard of one coming. I mean, I don't know.
But if it's a pop rivet, you can take a pair of pliers and usually clamp down on it real hard and tighten it up a little bit.
There you go.
If it's a screw and nut, of course, you can just tighten up the screw, but, you know, I don't know what else would hold it on the mounted to the metal frame of the computer.
I just would have figured like either a little stud with a nut, the nuts come loose, or either a screw going into a, you know, a lot of these things are plastic now, into a plastic hole, and that would be the problem with trying to tighten up a rivet. It's, you're not in metal. I mean, if it's from the inside, you might break the plastic if you were squeezing on the rivet.
You'd have to be pretty careful when you trip to your old vice grips on there. If you hear something crunch, you need to buy a new computer, probably.
You know, it's too late.
It's a problem I've never encountered. We'll take that under advisement. Ask our panel of experts. Whoever the hell they are. All right.
He says, I have a ceiling fan that uses these small, round 40-watt bulbs.
Uh-huh.
No matter how easily I screw the bulbs in, half the time I have to break the bulb to get it out. This is partially the design of the globes that the bulb goes in. You can't get your fingers around the bulb to grasp it firmly. And, of course, you can't remove the open-end globe while the light is intact. Is there a lubricant that can be used in a light socket to make the unscrewing of the bulbs easier? In other words, his question is, can one lubricate a light socket?
Well, this is certainly... Doesn't anyone screen these questions? We need to look at these. We probably need to call me in the afternoon before we... Because I don't know.
I think they should send these to car talkers.
I've never heard of this one.
I never heard of this one either.
I've heard people. Well, I saw a couple of responses to that. I didn't print any of them, but one said WD-40.
No.
And I don't know how you could do that. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I wouldn't do that.
WD-40 will. I'll tell you how I know it conducts electricity. The reason I know that is because at one point in time, we had a teletype machine, and a friend of mine, he's a big fella, he lives in Wells, Texas. Houston knows him well. His name is A.H. Atmer Lester.
Amen.
Was spraying WD-40 in the teletype machine for some reason, and it knocked him clear back out in the hall.
Wow.
It arced, and it didn't care for that.
I bet. Wow.
So I know that it conducts electricity. It's just not the kind of, you know, you don't want
to
do that.
I wonder if this person...
It has to be a conductive type thing.
I wonder if the person is... I mean, breaking them as he's trying to get them with his hand or using some kind of tool. You know, for big lights, if you have a real high ceiling, they have like a suction cup thing.
I have one.
That you can reach up and change a light.
Yep.
A guy could find a smaller version or like a kid's dart, a rubber dart, and moisten it and put it on there where you just have something. They're probably not in there super tight. However, I'll say what's causing that is the heat because I don't know if you could go to a smaller bulb. It wouldn't be much point, but my microwave does the same thing. I have never found the perfect light under the vent hood, and every time I go to take them out, they break, and it is from the heat. And, of course, the socket, I just, you know, it's easy to kind of, I take a pair of pliers, and instead of closing them, I open them to put a little pressure on the
outside
metal socket
that's
left and extract it, but...
I don't know, but those light bulbs would have to be getting awful hot to kind of mold or meld themselves in there.
Yeah.
I don't know what slicks or what he could put on there that would be, it'd have to be something absolutely non-conductive. And WD-40 is, don't do that.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to, I don't know unless it was some kind of powder. I have no idea, huh?
I don't either. That's the second question.
Let's give him Max Robinson's email. He probably knows.
Max would probably have an answer for that, wouldn't he?
He probably would.
Max has an answer for everything. Have you noticed that?
Now we're going to move on to solar heaters, guys.
We don't own the ground.
Well, maybe we shouldn't.
Let's move why don't on we just go heaters? Home?
Yeah, let's, don't we have any commercials to run or something?
I hooked up my solar heater for my swimming pool, as the daytime temps have been in the 80s out here. After hooking it up and turning the pump on, I heard water leaking, so I called my wife out to see where it was leaking.
Uh-huh.
At the top end of the panels, there's a piece of PVC pipe. Being that I have two panels, I have two PVC pipes joined together by a thick piece of rubber hose with hose clamps on them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, both pieces of PVC pipe have a crack in them. I guess I didn't get the water out of them before the winter set in, and the water must have frozen.
They froze, obviously.
Yeah.
How long the cracks are, I didn't ask at the time. My question to all the list members is as follows. Is there any kind of epoxy that I can put over the crack that will hold under pressure?
Man, PVC pipe is filthy dirt cheap. Just replace them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
I would do.
Yeah, I mean, I would replace it. However, there was something that used to be advertised on one of these infomercials. They show a big tear in a water hose, and you just put this goop on it, and it allegedly doesn't leak. So, but, I mean, yes, PVC pipe's about the cheapest thing on earth.
It is.
I would replace
just
it. Just cut out the section that seems to be cracked and put a collar in there and
glue it real good.
Back together.
Make sure
it's very, you know, PVC is really kind of blind friendly.
Make sure you clean it good before you do it, and put it in there, and put those two compounds on there, and they'll do 5 minutes. You'll never know you did it. You know, they make all kinds of little collars and flanges and stuff for PVC pipe that you may not know about. I mean, they make a neat little thing that's a three-way that you can join three pieces together, or they make a little thing that just slips over that joins two together that is just unbeatable. I mean, it'll never leak. So that'd be my answer for that. Replace that pipe there, buddy.
Okay.
Cheapskate. Come on here. Yeah.
All right. Here's one more.
One more?
I've got one more here. It says, I'm wondering, short of having a humidity probe to tell you what the humidity is in a home, is there a way of testing to see if your humidifier is functioning properly? I find it to be very dry in my home, and I'm wondering if the humidifier has conked out on me. Now, it's a central forced air system with a humidifier attached to the furnace. The entire furnace humidifier combo unit is just over 1.5 years old, figures, he says, just after the warranty period. And every other part of it is working fine. He has a sighted wife to help him, so if there's any testing that requires vision, then by all means, send it along. Thanks for your help in advance, Victor.
One of the ways an air conditioner works is by removing water from the air. I mean, that's one of the ways it helps to cool you. And so, this guy's want to add water to add humidity to the air, or what?
It must be. They make certain air conditioners out west that do that. These water, isn't it like in Arizona and El Paso? Don't they have the? So
we had those in San Antonio that were water that just cooled.
Evaporators or vaporizers or
that cool the water and you blew air across that cold water.
Yeah, I don't know. Are these emails from the same guy? Is he really stumping us?
No, they're all different, I swear.
And these are off of our list.
Yeah. Tom, did you go to the right?
I mean, these are guys who are supposed to be friendly to us. I don't know.
I've never seen a humidifier.
Is this Victor Govea? It's got to be.
It is.
Only Victor we've got.
Yeah.
Where does he live, I wonder?
He lives in New York.
In Canada.
He does. Lives in Canada, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere. Why would he, Victor?
So
why
they
would
probably need a little humidity. We don't have a need for humidity down here, of course.
We don't.
Well, he might need it in the wintertime when he's heating, because that central heat will dry out your air.
Big time.
A lot of times pretty good, but I don't understand. I just don't understand.
I think we're batting 1,000. We haven't solved
today
one.
We haven't.
Not one question have we done good on.
I haven't seen one of those questions. In fact, they all must have come in today since I've checked them in.
You did lose Mark Christie's number, didn't you?
I don't think I have it anymore. I don't need it. I feel no need
for it. Actually, I think he's got a real job. Mark
may have started his own show.
Yeah,
actually, Mark is working with the Texas Workforce Commission, who has a lot lot of things to do since they closed the paper mill.
Yeah, I bet.
All right, Houston, I guess that's it for you, huh?
Yes, sir, that'll do it.
Well, we'd love to see you in the flesh next week, if you could possibly...
Well, I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
I will indeed do my best.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate you anyway. We'll see you next week.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. We fade him off. Don, you're staying.
I'm here.
You're staying? Well, all right, we're gonna try to call this guy on Skype and put him on the air. This is the guy, we had him on before, that talked to us about making keys for locks. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to talk about his rent houses, and he just built a big deck, and he's getting ready for spring. This guy's played at a nightclub, the same club, for 18 years.
Wow.
So anyway, we're going to have him on in just a minute, and Don Shaw and Don Patton, I'll be right back if you'll just hang up. Okay.
Something you can do. You'll find a screen reader friendly site and an online petition waiting for you at www.moneyforall.info. That's www.money4all.info. Come be a part of history with the American Council of the Blind. www.moneyforall.info.
Thank you so much, Mr. Announcer Man. All right, here we are back with more of the exciting Blind Handyman Show. Don Pat is there. Are you right here?
Yes.
Here there's Don Pat.
Right. I'm right here.
Let's say hi to Mark Dew. How are you, sir?
Well, howdy, folks. How's everybody?
Everybody's very well,
good,
sir. How about yourself?
I can't complain too much.
Well, it wouldn't do any good if you did.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Nobody pays any attention to people that complain like you.
Yeah, I know.
Are you still playing at that same club?
I'm still there. September will be starting my 21st year.
Your 21st year?
Goodness gracious.
21st year, yeah.
Man, that's amazing. Well, say hi to Don Patterson. He's here with us.
How are you?
Well, Donna.
Glad to meet
you. How are you?
And Don Shaw is here.
Yeah, Mark, right. How's everything?
Pretty good, Don.
All right.
We're all gathered around here doing the old Blind Handyman Show. You still got all those rent houses?
See, we've got 28 of them.
How many?
Wow.
28.
Man.
She's got more now than she did have then, right?
Well, no, actually less.
Oh, she sold a few.
Yeah, we sold. Got rid of a couple of them, yeah.
Was that your idea or her or whose was it?
No, it had to be trimmed back a little bit, you know.
Yeah, and you're the maintenance man on these rent houses.
I do 90% of the maintenance stuff there, that's true.
That's pretty good for old blind fella. I had a rent house at one time. I just hated it because there's always something. Every day you get a call about something, don't you?
Actually, for the last 3 months, it's been pretty good. I've had one call last week.
Not bad out of 28 properties.
In fact, that's excellent. 28 properties, only getting one call.
Yeah, that's true, because there's been times where there's been several calls in one day. Well, out of those 28 houses, 24 are rented at this point. We have four that are vacant. Three out of the four is going to be redone this year. Put back online. The fourth one's going to be sold.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to do the remodels or what?
I'm going to do most of it.
Do most of it yourself. So, yeah. Boy, you've got an excuse. I mean, you really have an excuse for tool buying, don't you?
Yeah, I just love that. I just love that new chop saw I bought this last year.
Is that right? Compound compound miter saw or what?
Yeah, compound miter saw.
Yeah, a guy needs that if you're going to make, if you have rotten steps that you have to fix, or even for putting up trim, you'd need that, you know? Or cutting angles.
Well, I tell you, it beats the tar out of using the old miter box when it comes to doing door facing.
Yes, sir. To trim the door facing?
Yeah, the miter, the door facing, and put up the...
Yeah.
Mark, would you say... most of the renters, when they vacate, are they pretty destructive as a group, or just it depends on the individual?
It actually depends on the individual. We've had some that are pretty destructive, and then we've had others that we've actually given back their deposit. But that's a rarity, though.
That they get their deposit back.
That they get their deposit back, because there's enough damage that should have been reported along the way, that should have been repaired during the time that they were there, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, they didn't tell you about it, and so, yeah.
Correct.
Things like that. But, I had one little old rent house, and it just seemed like that every time it rained, I just cringed, because I just knew, that I'm going to get water, and now I don't have that to worry. That isn't a problem.
Right. We have one house, two-story house right now that every time we have a heavy rain for a day or so, there's a problem in the foyer. And I've replaced the ceiling tiles in that foyer about four times now. And I haven't been able to locate, and a professional roofer hasn't been able to locate either where the problem is.
So there's a leak somewhere.
There is a leak somewhere.
Is there a chimney anywhere there?
Well, we kind of think maybe the chimney might have been involved, but the roofer doesn't think so.
Yeah.
So, if a professional can't find it, I don't know how I'm supposed to find it.
Well, because you're blind, and you get up there and feel around and find it, whereas he's depending on his eyes.
Well, there might be a chance of it, Phil. If I actually live there, I think I could probably find it, because, I'm not there at the times that it's crucial to search for it during heavy rain.
Well, you might need to be there if you replace the ceiling tiles. How many times?
About four times over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. First, that water can travel a long way. It can leak in one place and travel.
So it can go yards. Yeah. Literally yards before it winds up somewhere where you find it.
You had a leak over on Allendale at one time, kind of like that. Didn't you, Pat?
I had a leak in my chimney, and it was actually, I finally figured it out. It was the brick mortar. The way they had constructed the chimney is they had these little flat ledges on the chimney as it went up to the pipe, the actual stack of
it
the chimney.
It stair-stepped up, yeah.
Decorative. But water just came and would set, and because this brick with, and mortar is porous. In other words, if water sets on it long enough, it's going to come through it.
Yeah.
And so I wound up trying, sealing it, spraying it with like a Thompson's or something, and that sort of worked for a while, but I'm not sure that it's out. I did the smart thing. I sold it.
Yeah.
I got out.
You sold the house. It's no longer have that. But the only thing I have to worry about now is my own, and of course we had, I thought I was going to lose the roof. We have a big high-pitch roof in the living room, and there's actually a little loft up there in the pitch of the roof where Luann has her computer and her office is up there, and the rafters had turned loose from the center pole. And if we'd wait another 3 months, we'd have lost that roof. It'd come down on us. But we fixed it, and so I don't worry about that anymore, and I don't have a rent house, so it rain, come on, I don't care. It doesn't make me any difference.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I guess these houses, now you're in St. Louis, aren't you?
That is correct.
St. Louis, does it get pretty hot in St. Louis? I didn't live there in a long time.
Well, last year we made it to 103.
Good Lord.
For about a couple of days. The previous year before that, we never reached 100. 99 was the highest for the summer.
Yeah.
Last year, did we even reach 100?
Oh, yes. Several days we reached 100.
A couple of days?
Okay. Year before last, we did not.
I was going to say, I think, from here, as we said here, he's probably 700 miles north and east. You know, I would say their weather pretty much mirrors ours, maybe 5 degrees cooler as on average.
Yeah.
I think our winters tend to be a little bit more severe than your folks down in that area.
Yeah,
right?
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't. You have snow and stuff, and we don't.
That's right.
We don't have much snow.
We had one heck of a ice storm this last year, and I just last July, August, and September, I over a 3 month period, I built a 12x40 deck on the back of my house.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
And this ice storm we had back in January did a little bit of damage to it, and I'm not too satisfied about that.
Yeah.
So. If it hadn't been an ice storm, there wouldn't have been no problem.
12x40. That's a good sized deck, man.
What did the ice do to you?
Yeah. Well, I built this out of the composite material that Lowe's and Home Depot sell.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called. There's a name for it, and I never will think of. There are three grades of it. Am I thinking of the right stuff?
This is a 75-year warranty on the stuff.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
And it's you never have to stain it or paint it or maintain it in any way.
Supposedly.
Really.
Yeah.
Just don't let ice get on it, right?
Well, they have what they call side trim boards.
Right.
That go on the side of your 2x8s or 2x10s or whatever you built your main frame out of. And ice had gotten down in the crack of that, and some of it kind of pushed it out at the top. So I can see what happened.
In other words, the moisture got in there and froze and expanded.
Exactly right.
Right. Okay.
And so that's, I'm not very happy, but I'll be able to fix it, though, I think.
But can you fix it and prevent it from happening again would be the question.
I hope not to have. Well, we hadn't had an ice storm like that in 25 years.
Is that right?
Really?
That's an unusual thing.
Right.
Yeah.
See, ice had gotten down in there. They had frozen again. Well, the colder got, the harder the ice got. It just caused some trouble.
Yeah.
If it had been snow, it wouldn't have done that.
40 by 12, you said, Dick.
Yeah, and there's another section that comes off of that that's a 10 by 13.
Man.
So it'd be like a weird looking T with the 10x13 coming along and attaching itself to the 12x40 on the side.
You needed a chop saw, I say.
Yes, that's true.
That was long overdue.
As a matter of fact, that's what I bought it for.
Yeah, that's of course. Yeah, you built this out. You built the whole thing out of this synthetic material.
Well, except for the main frame, you know the.
Yeah,
two by eights and
but the boards,
4x4 posts and stuff.
The boards, the 2x6 boards that go across and make the floor are made out of this plastic material.
Actually, it's that's correct. It's about inch and a quarter thick.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Now that stuff's pretty expensive.
That's pretty thick.
Oh my God, it's expensive.
Yeah,
yeah, it really is. I got $8,000 tied up in material.
Goodness. So like, apparently, like the 12-foot, that's probably a standard size for one of their boards. What would
they, actually, they come in 12, 16, and 20.
Okay.
So
wow.
If you use 12s, how wide are they?
6 inches.
They're actually, if you measure with a tape measure, to 5.5 inches.
Okay. And so what, give us a rough idea, what does one board cost?
Let's see. They run about around $24 a board for a 12.
My.
Whoa, my goodness.
No, I'll take that back. It's a 16-foot board that was $24-something dollars.
Okay.
Okay, but you bought 12s.
Actually, no, I didn't. What I did was the center section is a 12x16, and I used 16-foot boards.
Okay. All right.
Then it's actually, if you were to look at it, it's got two. Let's see, how did that work out now?
Well, I don't know. How did it work out?
Yeah.
So you built a center section, then you just kept adding deck, is what you did, right?
Right. I kept adding deck, and there's the two sections on the other side, but the boards are going the opposite direction.
I got you, Paul.
On the end sections.
Right.
Uh-huh. And
okay.
They're going 12 foot on length that way.
And they're 12 foot boards that way.
Okay. That's correct.
All right.
Well, it's 12 and 12 would be 24, and 16 would make it 40.
12 by 16 is the actual center of it. So,
yeah, right. Okay.
Man, that's a lot of deck.
It sure is.
You folks must
it
be.
It is a lot of deck. 19 posts I dug with a post hole digger.
Wow.
That's holding this baby up.
19 of them. Now, how far off the ground are you?
Actually, I'm not too deep. I'm five steps. My riser was the five-step riser.
Yeah.
I think it's about 34 inches from one end, 34 inches from the ground, and the other end was 18.
Okay, so
the ground wasn't level, you know.
So did you hand nail it, Mark, or did you have a nail gun or a screw gun?
You mean I use screws, Don, put the decking down.
Yeah, because it's already got holes in it, doesn't it?
No, it don't.
So do you have to drill?
No, and they have they have special screws for this stuff, and you drive them with a drill, and you countersink them a little bit.
Yeah, so we have to drill.
And then this material will fan up at the top. It looks like a mouth of a volcano.
Yeah.
And you take your fingers and you fold this material into the center hole. You take a hammer and you smack it a couple of times, and it folds it in, and you can't even find it where the screw is.
You don't even know where the screw is.
No, that's slick.
Do you drill a pilot hole for the screw, or just go?
You know what? I didn't, but I suggest to somebody, if they were build a deck like this, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, did you use a special tip like they make
yes,
one for screwing
it's a square bit.
You know.
It's a square bit.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So this is the modern way to build a deck. This is the way that they do it in 2007.
Yeah, even the corner post is made out of this material.
Oh man!
Mm.
Wow.
Your balusters, top rail, up lower rail, all that's made out of this material. Everything.
All right. This is the $8,000 deck.
Yes, it is.
That'll be there for 75 years.
That'll be there when you're dead and gone, and I'm certainly...
I hope so.
I hope so.
Not man. Me. The day I punch out, I want it to all collapse. What do you mean? You want it to last forever.
That's
And what I did was, on each end of the deck, I built a bench out of the same material.
All right.
The bench is built into the deck, which is 12 foot long and about 2 feet, you know, from front to back.
Yeah, so
good.
These are actually the part of the deck.
Well, you had to
but
put
you can imagine two benches, 12 foot long, how many people that can sit.
That's a bunch, yes.
But you put a rail around this thing, right?
Oh, yeah, it's got the balusters and the rails and all that.
Yeah, because if you didn't, you're blind, you'd have to have your cane out there. You'd have to walk around
with
your cane on your own deck. That's no good at all. You put a rail around it. Down at their farmhouse down in the country that we own, there's no rail around that porch. If I go down there and stay 3 days, there's going to be one because I'm going to put one around there. I fell off of it a year or so ago. It didn't hurt me, but it scared the hell out of me.
I can imagine.
Yeah. You know how that goes.
But where I made my mistake last year was that I built this in July and August. And I'll tell you, that's some hot weather.
Really?
So when I got off work playing music, get home at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm out there digging post holes.
Hey, that'd be the time to do it.
3 o'clock in the morning.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, but when you did of course, you didn't do much nailing on this thing, did you? Mostly screws.
Mostly screws, but the mainframe was done with nails.
The mainframe.
Hot. You know the 2x8 framing that you're on your 4x post, and that was done with nails. Of course, I had to use the metal. Joist holders have to been installed.
Yeah, the hangers.
Yeah.
The hangers. And all that's done. All that had nails in it.
But overall, this would have been a quiet project. You basically could have done a lot of it at night, though, or when you get off.
I did the decking.
Cool.
I did the decking at night, and of course, digging the post hole. You know the. Yeah. The whole split pole.
I decked an attic one time. Remember that, Don?
Yeah.
I did a lot of the work at 4 o'clock in the morning because by 9 o'clock you couldn't stay in that attic.
It's too damn hot.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that. That was your first project after you moved up here.
It was, yeah.
You didn't have a compressor. You were hammering.
Hammer and nails, buddy.
Waking Ruby up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I don't think she even knew I was there.
Well, what a project. What else is going on, Mark? He's still at that club, like we said, playing you two keyboards every night.
That's true.
And they love you. And this is a restaurant that you work?
Bar restaurant.
It's not just a beer joint. It's actually a restaurant, isn't it? They serve...
Yes, it's a restaurant.
What kind of keyboards are you playing, Mark?
I use a Roland equipment, a Roland, Roland X7. It's called a Phantom X7.
Okay,
that's what I use on the job.
Phantoms, yeah.
And I also use a Yamaha P90 digital piano, which is 88 key.
I'm familiar with the P9. I have a Tyros 2 Yamaha, you know, that works. Us no talent guys use the automatic rhythms, you know, but...
Yeah, well, I don't use I got a drum machine for that.
Yeah, that's good. I bet it sounds
good.
At least
it's a SR-16 drum machine.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're familiar with the P90 Yamaha, that is an excellent piano keyboard.
Yeah, and it does vibes and some organ sounds, does it not? Or it vibes at least?
Yeah, there's 32 different sounds on there.
It had some real nice sounding vibes, as I remember.
Yeah, nice vibes, and it's got some... it's got one organ sound. It's not too bad.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Right.
And you play what, basically, old standards or?
Like when you go in.
I do standard and country music and old country, modern country, some jazz, blues, just about everything except heavy rock and rap music. I'm not heavy metal or anything
really?
Like that.
No kidding.
How many nights a week are you going?
Four nights.
That's good, man.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
That is correct.
Wednesday, Thursday. Like, what might you start with? Wednesday night, when you sit down at 6 o'clock to play, what were you song would you might start with? Just name it to you.
Oh, let's see. Probably something like Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Willie Nelson's tune.
You'd do that in E. You'd do that in E so I could play with you, right?
I could play it in the key you want.
I know that. I'm sure you can play it any key I want, huh? Well, I do it.
It works for you.
I do it in E, so you can get that Willie sound. You know that where you can bass off it. You know, we know what I'm saying.
I could play it in any key. I use the transpose button.
You know what I did years ago when I was much, 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 much younger. When I would practice, I would take a song, something that wasn't too complicated, and I would start in the key of C.
Right.
And I would go completely through it in the key of C, then I would go up to C sharp and go completely through it, go to D, go completely through it.
Yeah.
As a discipline thing to teach me how to play in different keys.
Sure it would be.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Karen used to do that, Don.
Yeah.
Playing to all 12 keys, but, well, I try to discipline myself, but it's hard to make myself go do that.
Yes. And my very last key that I got that was a problem for me for many, many years was E flat.
Yeah.
But I've got that down pat.
And then that's what all the horn players want to play in is E flat.
That's true.
They want to play in E flat or F or B flat.
That's right.
You know, one, two, or three flats. That's what they want to do. Go ahead.
And, Mark, are you the guy that you have an internet site where you sell some of the music that you've done?
I do have some music and stuff that I've taped. One of these days I might put a CD together, but I don't know.
Ah.
I'm so busy, Don, that I so many irons in the fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With all those greenhouses, you would be.
Well, you've got lots of songs ready to go. All you'd have to do is put them together on a CD, right?
Yeah, I know. But we got. Of course, they got CD burners now that you can put a picture and the writing and all that stuff on them now. So.
Oh, yeah.
They sure do.
Sure. You've got a wife that can do that for you, that can make that label for you. But I've been trying to get you. You know, it's really funny. But I don't know if you've heard this guy on. We had a guy on about a month ago. His name is Lauren Buntmeyer. Lauren Buntmeyer's voice and yours are very much alike. Two times I've gone into a chat room on For the People and said, now, you're Mark from St. Louis, aren't you? No, I'm Lauren Buntmeyer from, you know. Twice that's happened, and I'm mistaken. But what I need you to do is put some songs together on a CD and send it to me so I can play some of your music on my Blind Like Me show.
Yeah, I have to do that.
That's what you said last time.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. And my intentions are good, but somehow I don't ever seem to get around to it.
I guess with 28 rent houses, it would be a little difficult.
Wouldn't it?
Trying to maintain, but your renters don't call. You must take good care. You don't get many calls.
No, we had one maintenance call last week, and it was just a light switch that had to be changed out.
I get more calls just living here from Emily at midnight saying, go fix this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, speaking of that light switch, this is the first light switch that I had actually that went bad in the on position. It was a mercury switch.
Yeah?
And when I took it out, this thing must have been 25 years old. I'd never seen anything like this in my life. But it actually went bad in the on position. Usually when they go bad, they're off.
I don't know that I've ever seen them.
And you can't turn them on. Well,
you can't turn them on.
I've been known the old kind before the mercury ones just to spray them a little bit with WD-40 and go on, not tuna cleaner, and hope for the best,
hey,
you know?
Let me tell you something. This has been in this house so long and so old, it would take a whole can to get to it.
Is that right? So you keep things like that on hand, or did you have to go buy that, or do you have them?
Well, we keep switches and outlets and things of that. And I just don't fool with trying to fix something like that. I just change it.
Sure, yeah. It would be cheaper.
Yeah.
Are you still making keys for locks?
I still change keys for our houses. When somebody moves out, we change the locks. We take the old locks off, take the locks home, rekey them so I can use them again.
Yeah, and you never buy new locks. You just rekey the old locks and use.
The only time we buy a new lock is if they have damaged it in such a way that it's not usable.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, can you buy for door hardware? Can you buy just the brass or screws? Not, you know, they are the softest metal. And usually if I start messing with a doorknob or a lock for too long, I will damage the screw. And
I don't know why you would have trouble with the damage in the screw. I've never damaged one. Unless you have tried to use a Defiant screw on a quick set lock.
No, I mean like the head of the screw. I usually manage to booger them up, you know.
You're talking about this. I've never done that. You're talking about the screws that hold the lock in on the door, Don.
Yeah, little, like your doorknob, if you want to, you know, I mean, when I built all the garages and everything, I put doorknobs on them, but I had one that, I mean, I screwed up some of the screws. Now, I went to Abney's and he didn't have exactly, if you can believe this, the right screw.
You can just use little drywall screws.
I guess.
I don't think you can use drywall screws to handle that metal.
Sure you can. Just use some drywall screws. He's not talking about those long ones that go through the door. He's talking about the ones that go in the frame, aren't you, Don?
Well, no, I'm talking about the ones that go in the doorknob assembly itself. And they're little
brass.
They
hold the two doorknobs together.
Yeah.
I guess they're little made out of brass or...
Yeah.
It's real soft. I don't know if it's brass or something.
Yeah, you can't use the drywall screws on those.
No, you couldn't.
I was just wondering if somebody changes as many locks as you do, surely at some point I would screw up the head of one of them.
That's just a long machine screw, isn't it? I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little round-headed, funny little screw. I mean, little tapered.
Well, they're about 2.5 inches in length.
Right.
I really haven't messed up any of them. I've tried to put a Defiant screw in a quick set or the other way around, and they do not work because they are a little bit different on the threading.
Yeah, the thread.
And they'll jam up on you, and of course, then you try to force it with a screwdriver,
and you get problems.
You're going to have yourself a stripped head.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Abney's didn't have them.
No, he did not.
I'm amazed. Because usually, I called him the other day and said, what did I want? I wanted lithium grease, white lithium grease. And he said, yeah, I've got several cans coming.
What did you want that for?
That's the stuff that we were going to take the patio door off during the visit of
of Matt Robinson and crew?
Yeah, and somehow we never got around to that. It's still, she hadn't mentioned that since she's been home. We were going to take the patio door off, and this stuff is supposed to dry, this white lithium grease, supposed to dry as a powder.
Okay.
And so you can use it in sliding doors. Have you ever used any, Mark?
I don't know. I don't think I have.
What do you do for sliding doors? What do you grease them with?
Fortunately, none of our houses have sliding doors.
Oh, you're a lucky man.
Paul Abney is the only guy in town I could think of that would have that.
Well, he had it. They say that automobile places usually have
right.
it. Well, I bought a can. I haven't used it yet, but it's supposed to drop. We're gonna one of these days when you're over here, we're gonna take that door off and.
Okay.
I don't think I can handle it by myself.
I can help you.
That'd be pretty.
Oh, yeah, that's
heavy.
A two.
Yeah, you know,
project.
Come to think of it, I think where they may use that is on like door openers. You know, car door.
Yeah.
On the actual part of the door.
Yeah.
That goes back up in the body when you the door is extended. That is probably a perfect application for that.
Yeah, because if you use WD-40, it'd attract dirt.
Yeah, or grease or regular grease.
Regular grease. It would just you'd be of a dirty mess there eventually. Of course, I've seen them greasy, and they used to, I guess, at one time used some kind of just regular grease. All right, Mark, you got a couple of minutes here. You need to go start working on that CD.
Yeah.
Do you still get on late at night? I see you on For the People. I used to see you on over there late
usually
at night.
Usually it's in the morning, Phil, from like 5 to 8:30. Then I'm usually out of here, and we're going over to take care of property.
Is that right? Well, they keep you busy, don't they?
And by the time at night, if the nights that I'm not playing, I'm just too tired to mess with the computer.
I would imagine. Have you got Skype?
I do have Skype.
Well, you need to add me to your contact list. I'm just PhilParr5. All one word, PhilParr5 on Skype.
Is that right?
Yeah. Feel free, all of you, to add me to your contacts list and call.
Well, mine's easy. It's just STL for St. Louis Piano Man.
SPL, and that's all there is to it?
No, it's STL Piano Man.
STL Piano Man.
Yep.
STL Piano Man. I'll add you to my list, sir, and we appreciate you, and we'll visit with you in a day or two.
Well, thank you for calling, folks.
All right, Mark. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day,
Mark.
All right.
All right. Let's see if I hit. Say I hit escape a couple times.
Yeah, I'd hit it three or four.
We should be free.
Sure.
We called him on the famous Skype, and he signed. It worked out all right, didn't it?
Yeah, it worked out fine.
There seemed to be kind of a little delay. Is there like?
No, there's no delay that I could discern.
Seemed like sometimes he would drop out or something. Who knows?
Maybe
it's my phone.
I missed that. That's just happened out in Hudson, I think.
Yeah.
It's called the Hudson dropout.
Way out
it
in the
could
country.
Be.
That happens in March in Hudson.
Maybe.
Here in the country,
the big Hudson dropout. All right. We'll run a little commercial here and come back and figure out something to talk about.
I've sure. got something.
All right. We'll be right back in just a minute with more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
www.money.
It is my fervent belief that blind persons, regardless of race, creed, color, or party affiliation, should have the same information concerning United States currency as their sighted brethren.
Now, if you think this is a great idea, thanks to the American Council of the Blind, there is something you can do. You'll find a screen reader friendly site and an online petition waiting for you at www.moneyforall.info. That's www.money4all.info. Come be a part of history with the American Council of the Blind. www.moneyforall.info.
All right, we are back. We're going to let Don Shaw start and see what he's got something to talk about, and then we'll come to you in just a second. Pat, hang on. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I just have a real quick thing here to talk about for just a second.
Yes, sir.
We talked on the list, or the list had a discussion. Oh, God, it's been back maybe 6 months, a year ago now, that there were some folks talking on the handyman list. I think it was the handyman list about stoves, these new ceramic top, flat top stoves.
Yeah, that aren't accessible to blind people.
Yeah, how you could really tell where the burner started and the stovetop left off. Well, I can tell you there is an answer to that question because I installed one of these stoves Saturday.
At your house?
At the North Street house.
Okay.
And the stovetop itself actually has a rough texture. Even though it's ceramic glass, it's still got a rough texture to it. And the burner, the round burner itself, has a smooth texture. Now, I don't know if this is something that's changed in the past year on these stovetops, but you actually can feel the round part of the burner real well because of the difference in the texture of the between the burner and the stovetop.
Now, this is not the kind that will only use the one at my father-in-law's house. Only, you have to have a metal pot.
Yeah, no, it is
aluminum won't work.
It
so yours will get hot. You turn the burner on, it goes.
And it'll go. It'll definitely get hot.
I'll be on. All right. So that's the kind you need to look at with the rough, and then the burner is smooth.
Yep. And you can definitely tell the two things apart just by the texture.
And you can use any type of cooking ware.
You sure can. Any
kind of pot. That's an improvement.
That's good to know for blind people. I've been worried about that because this will be the last generation of stoves like I have with plug-in burners.
Oh, it will. There's no question about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's all I had, just a little update on that.
That's good to know. That's our stove update for
you. Yeah.
All right. That's good. All right, Pat, what are you going to
talk? Well, I was...
What?
Sometimes you get in a situation where you start questioning your judgment. It started the program, and I said, righty, tighty, lefty, loosey.
Yeah.
I have a handheld grinder. And basic heads for it are one for wood and one for metal or / plastic.
Yeah.
And I had an instant disaster here yesterday. The guys came to install the drain from my commode at the pavilion to the existing septic system.
Yeah.
140 feet. I had a trench already dug for the guys, and they hit anything down there? No, didn't hit it. When they moved over a foot and they cut the sprinkler lines, they cut an electric wire.
Why did they move over?
I have no, don't ask me. The guy said, well, that's what I get for thinking. Anyway, they got all that back together, but they broke also a little stand overflow pipe on my swimming pool.
Wow. So
I said, you know, guys, y'all've done enough for me today. I'll fix this. Y'all just go on. Here's your money. Thanks for getting me.
The guy saw the trench and didn't use it.
Nope. Went over, moved over a foot. And anyway.
That's strange.
Yeah, anyway, so I was going to use my grinder to grind off this piece of pipe that they broke so I can get a fitting on it. I took the wood blade off the grinder and was going to put my metal blade. Well, there was a little insert that I have discovered that I did not know was still left in the blade that I took off that I should have put on before I put the new blade. So I just put the metal grinding blade on, and the little thing I tightened it up basically by hand, and then you have this special little wrench that has two studs that go in two little holes, and you put a little torque on it. Well, because I left this in, so anyway, I want you to know I cannot get this blade off. My grinder is jammed because I left this insert off. And so then you start thinking, well, is righty tighty really righty tighty? Are these reverse threads? I am finally getting it undone, but I want you to know it's taken my sledgehammer. I mean, I just forgot the base, you know, the basics of are these left-handed threads? Are they not left-handed threads? Is righty-tighty really righty-tighty, or is it lefty-loosey?
Yeah.
So I just want you to know kind of, and this is something that a blind guy, in my situation, when I took the old blade off, the insert was stuck in the blade.
Yeah.
Had I even thought about it or had the manual in front of me, I would have said, insert out. So when I put the new blade on, buddy, just tight. It's kind of like the guy's light bulb. It just got it. Anyway, that's what I've been doing for the last time to get this.
Why does he keep dropping it?
I don't know.
Do you have call waiting, Pat?
No, I do not.
You do not have call waiting?
No.
Strange.
Well, I don't understand. That's kind of strange.
No, because it may be this old cordless Sony phone that I'm using.
Just going out. Maybe it's righty-tighty.
Anyway, that was my... the guys showed up at my door yesterday and said, we're here to fix your septic tank. Well, just because they were supposed to come 2 weeks ago, I don't know why they showed up yesterday. And I thought everything. I said, I got you guys a trench. You know, just... And I'm telling you, it was instant disaster from the time they got here to the time they left. And
amazing.
What did he? Did you ask him why he didn't use the trench that was already there?
I did not. He said, well, I guess we should have stayed there. That's what I get for thinking. Well, he had a laser. He was shooting a grade, and that was a tricky situation. I understand that because I had a high on the hill, then a dip, and then kind of up again.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to make sure we could actually be going downhill all the time, and so he had his little digital, his little transit. And so I think he got carried away with that and decided that that was a better place to be. And
But you are covered all the way, and you do go downhill all the way.
Yes, covered all the way, and they fixed the line that they cut back and the wire back, and how they kept from getting electrocuted, I don't know.
Now,
and
they cut your electric wire going to the pavilion.
Going to,
Wow.
And they cut your swimming pool stuff.
They ran over it with the tractor and just broke it, and they almost broke it back up in the concrete where it was. I couldn't get to it, but actually there's enough left for me to glue a little fitting on, and it's only an overflow pipe, so it's nothing major.
So it's not going to hurt anything.
Hopefully they won't come back.
That brand new electric wire.
Now, what plumber was this?
This was my septic tank guy, his Socia. Oh. And he agreed to do it, but he just sent his crew out, and they were well-meaning guys and nice guys, but they just, if he hadn't have moved, he would have been, and he asked me when he got, he said, did you hit anything? And I said, well, we were down 2 feet. We didn't touch a thing. Okay. Well, boy, when they moved, they got right on top of the lines that go to the sprinklers for the septic system.
Wow.
And whacked it.
That's amazing. That is.
Well, anyway, it's all done. Everything's hooked up.
Hooked up.
You can flush them out there now, right?
I could flush it if I set the commode.
Thank you, Mr. Right. Don. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next week, maybe.
All right, work on that microphone for me.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
I can't get it to do a thing.
Okay.
I looked at it. I'm going to try one more little thing, but I can't. I think it's dead.
All right.
I think we'll have to send it off.
I'm going to send it to Shure.
All right. Talk to you later.
Later.
All right.
Bye.
Mr. Shaw?
Yeah. Yep. Another one.
Another one bites the dust, doesn't it?
Another one. Oh. There we go. Another one in the can.
We're in the can. 192. I guess we got about 8 more shows. We'll plan some sort of big major celebration.
200.
We appreciate you. We'll see you next week. Maybe we can get everybody together next week.
Yeah, hopefully.
Thank you, sir. And I'm Phil Parr. Speaking for Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston, I see, said to my man as he picked up his hammer and saw.